If you're trusting anything other than yourself, this is a very real reality that will keep affecting people until they finally get that message.
It's not evident to me whether this was intentional or not that it was frozen. It was. Like, try targeting me with my Bitcoin transaction. No one's going to stop it.
The financial engineers are making our dollar completely worthless. Trump is celebrating it. It increases our exports. It has some benefits for the American people and the workers. But over time, it makes it harder for us to purchase the things we need.
That is the number one roadblock that to this day, 17 years later, people don't understand. And as long as that remains, most people are going to get financially destroyed in ways they have never fathomed possible.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Greer and Tony are here with me. Guys, let's jump right in. So Ben Todar tweeted, I just lost $1.5 million for good. Tether decided to freeze my wallet for no fucking reason. Tether, Palo is worse than the banks. USDT isn't decentralized. I mean, first of all, Ben, so sorry to hear this. This is terrible. Very sad. I don't know why he had to say that USDT isn't decentralized. I thought everyone kind of understood that, but apparently not because it's on a blockchain. I'm not really sure what's going on here. Greer, you've been a very well. You guys have both been very adamant voices in the Tether and all these stablecoins or CBDCs in disguise. Greer, take this one first, though. What's your thought?
Absolute pain. Imagine, you've got $1.5 million totally frozen by Tether. You know, and we knew this would happen. We knew this is true. Look at what happened to Venezuela and Maduro's stack. You know, they froze billions of his Tether stack. So I think the lesson here is nothing is decentralized except Bitcoin. Every other crypto, every other token, every other stablecoin is controlled by someone else. It has a CEO, it has a board of directors, it has a marketing team. And this is the difference. Bitcoin is open source software, totally voluntary. And if you're going to play these kinds of games, you're going to learn very hard lessons. You know, I agree with you. My heart goes out to this guy. You don't want to lose $1.5 million by being frozen by someone who controls the currency.
And to be clear, it's not evident to me whether this was intentional or not that it was frozen. It was. Like, were they targeting this guy or did they think he was someone? It just doesn't matter. Like, try targeting me, with my Bitcoin transaction. No one's going to stop it.
Yeah, that's a problem. This can come out of nowhere and can happen to anyone. What happened in his specific case is apparently somebody sent him a tainted $30,000 transaction. And as a result, they froze his entire account. So even though he argued to take back that tainted 30,000 transaction, they didn't want. They froze his entire account. So this highlights a very real risk and danger. And again, which reiterates why I keep saying that, first of all, no stable coin is a safe coin, nor is it stable. This is a central bank digital currency in disguise, because anybody can be set up to fall into this exact scenario. If somebody sends you a dollar from like a quote-unquote blacklisted, transaction and knows it's you, your entire account is fucked at that point, right? And this could be done by anyone. Like, it could be an intentional attack targeting one specific person. This is the dangers of all of these centralized coins. The fact that he didn't realize USDT is decentralized is a bit puzzling to me. But then again, it goes to showcase how strong, marketing can be sometimes. All of this stuff is a risk with any cryptocurrency except for one, Bitcoin, and as long as you hold it in self-custody. If you leave it on an exchange, if you're trusting a third-party custodian, if you're trusting anything other than yourself, this is a very real reality that will keep affecting people until they finally get that message.
Yeah, so if you're listening, the logical leap that we've been making for a long time is if this guy's funds can be frozen because of $30,000 of tainted, tether tokens, they're going to be able to freeze anyone for anything. And this is it's the only technology that is usable enough at the moment that the U.S. government could probably come in and say, hey, this is going to be our CBDC. They co-opt it and they decide what you can buy, when you can buy it, when you can use it. And it's completely permissioned money again. We just have a faster surveillance monetary network. Okay, up next, breaking, the Fed is set for a major liquidity injection tomorrow. I think this was, this was yesterday, so today, and this is going to come out, I think, 2 days after we record. We're recording a little differently because of some conflicts we have, but the Federal Reserve is going to inject $8.3 billion into the markets, marking the largest single operation within its $53 billion liquidity plan. So, Tony, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, if Bitcoin is tied to liquidity, get ready for the number go up, dorks, to be celebrating very, very soon. I mean, the world is clearly de-dollarizing, and we are just watching the empire crumble from afar. This is the end game. What it looks like is as a horror show. I mean, we have, you know, liquidity coming in. We've got China, you know, threatening to dump its U.S. treasuries. Everybody's moving away. And so, what's the end game here? For those who aren't paying attention, it is a horror show. It is extreme economic pain. It is a disaster, a catastrophe in the making. There is no exit from within the existing system. There is only one play as far as I'm concerned, right? And that's something that is out of the control of those who can abuse it. And that's Bitcoin in self-custody. So no matter which direction you go, no matter what workaround you try to take as you think you can beat the system somehow, ultimately you're going to smash right into a wall and understand that the only win here is to come off of that chessboard.
Yes, bird flip the permabull. I want you to comment on that, but I want to provide a little bit more context. So the Kobe Ishii letter said, we now have a president who's targeting a price target on the Dow of 100,000. The new Fed chair is going to be, required to cut interest rates. $2,000 stimulus checks are back in discussion. $200 billion in buying of mortgage bonds from the U.S. government. A new $1.2 trillion funding bill signed into effect. Trump saying the U.S. dollar is, quote, doing great after a 10% drop. But they say own assets or be left behind. And then the other piece of context is from Douglas McGregor. China just ordered banks to reduce U.S. treasury holdings. Get ready. So the world is also de-dollarizing. So there's a whole lot of things happening here. Greer, take it away.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing here is that if you're closer to the money printer, if you're a bank, you love to see the Fed print $8 billion because you know that's going to find a way into your pockets. And I think the next post that you shared, you know, we don't own enough hard assets. And if you're going to own hard assets, own the hardest of them all, and that's Bitcoin. And I think the scary thing here is we knew this was happening, you know, and while the world is busy watching the Super Bowl yesterday, the financial engineers are making our dollar completely worthless. Trump is celebrating it. It increases our exports. It has some benefits for the American people and the workers, but over time, it makes it harder for us to purchase the things we need. So if you read Larry Lepard's book, The Big Print, he spelled it all out. It's happening in real time while everyone's sleeping. The dollar's going to zero and hard assets are going to the moon, Bitcoin particularly.
I think that's a good point, is it's happening. Everyone keeps on. I've seen so many people like tweet at Larry and they're like, hey, when is the big print coming? It's like, guys, this isn't like tomorrow they're doing this thing and suddenly the world explodes. It's like it's all happening. And we're going to look back and be like, oh, remember 2025, 2026, 2020. That was it. That was the big print. It's not 100%. Necessarily one cataclysmic event that we're going to see. So Bernstein, $779 billion financial firm, they reiterate their $150,000 price target for 2026. Obviously, we don't really make price predictions except up over a long enough time horizon. But it says what we are experiencing is the weakest Bitcoin bear case in its history, which I think is an incredibly interesting way of framing it. At the same time, I'm going to put these two together. We're seeing retail interest seems to be fading. The search term crypto in Google is hovering near a 1 year low. So you've got the quote unquote smart money saying, hey, there's no real reason for Bitcoin to be where it is today. We think it's going higher. And then you've got people, normies, who are increasingly disinterested, it seems. Tony, how do you sort of reconcile these two tweets?
Man, this is like history repeating itself. You know, like you said, like a smart money is paying attention to where the puck is going. And, you know, the normies are playing in a different galaxy, you know, thinking everything is going to be just fine. And then always complaining why their life is a living hell and they can't afford anything and everything is so miserable. When I read the fear index is at an all-time high. Like, it really literally cracks me up. I mean, what could be more terrifying than knowing that either your bank account is going to be frozen or seized, or that your purchasing power is going to go to zero? Like, what are you petrified of when you know there is an exit that, you know, prevents or shields you against that? But, you know, this comes down to, you know, mass ignorance. You know, normal people don't focus on anything intelligent. They distract themselves with whatever it is that, you know, they find in order to take the, you know, the path of least resistance. So I think this $150,000 price prediction is extremely conservative. But again, doesn't surprise me coming from someone like Bernstein. There's no limit to the upside to Bitcoin. Like, if just 2% more of the global population understood what we understood, Bitcoin would already be in the millions.
Tony, I think that where I would, I'm not pushing back. I agree with you. Where I would maybe add some nuance here is, we know, we recognize Bitcoin as an alternative, like an opt out. It's it's a fork in the road where we say this is what we're choosing instead of the legacy fiat system. When I talk to people, and I've been doing this a lot more lately outside of our Bitcoin bubble, what becomes evident is something we know we do talk about is they look at Bitcoin as an investment. They want to know what the price is going to be, why the price is dipping, when are they going to sell it in the future. And so I think the big educational hurdle, my point being, is that we need to continually remind people that it's not that you're investing in Bitcoin. There's no company, there's no board of directors that you trust. It's not like buying Tesla stock where you say, hey, I think it's going to go up in the future. What you're saying is, hey, your bank account will be frozen at some point in time. Your stablecoin will be frozen at some point in time. The dollars that you hold are becoming increasingly worthless. You can remove yourself entirely from that system that feels inescapable when you begin to study Bitcoin. And once you get 10, 15, 20 hours into studying it, which, by the way, the single best use of your time in this world today is to just go study Bitcoin. Anyone who thinks they don't have time for it, but is going to work and doing a 9-to-5 and putting money aside, is wasting any free time that they have if they're not willing to study Bitcoin. That's what
that's the thing, man, is that there's this like severe mind block when you tell people Bitcoin is money. Like, for a lot of folks to this day, they think that the only money that's money is the US dollar if you're an American, right? And the same thing with any local fiat currencies in other countries. That is the mind block. Like, so few people to this day, despite everything that's going on in the world, have the ability to comprehend that this is money. It's just not issued by a thieving cartel that can print this garbage to infinity, right? Once people believe that, and this is where the, you know, like the toughest part of orange pilling someone comes in, is convincing them that this isn't a speculation and an investment to make more worthless paper. This is the money itself. So once you walk into this new currency, you don't think about the others anymore, right? Because this currency cannot be weaponized against you. It cannot be debased by a group of people, right? You cannot be sanctioned when you're using incorruptible money. It's yours 100%. You just need to learn how to use it. That is the number one roadblock that to this day, 17 years later, people don't understand. And as long as that remains, most people are going to get financially destroyed in ways they have never fathomed possible.
Greer, anything you would add to that?
I would say that Google searches being at all-time lows for crypto is fantastic news. You know, we don't want people searching for crypto. The other thing I would say is that I don't even know who uses Google for search anymore. I think that most people are getting their news from social media platforms, whichever one they like best. So I think, you know, the benefit here is that Bitcoin's going to go up, and the price going up is what draws people into it. You know, you first come for the greed, you FOMO in, and then you spend some time learning about what you just purchased. I think that as we see more people purchase small amounts of Bitcoin, move it into a wallet, I think that's when the journey begins. So, you know, overall, crypto being something that people have kind of understood, it's a scam. It just is. I'm sorry. There's just no way to say it any other way. Like, Bitcoiners are right, and we're going to continue to be right, and time will prove it.
Yeah, I do agree with you. It'll be a beautiful thing when the searches for crypto are non-existent on Google. I agree with you. Most people are getting their news from other sources. However, Google is still a massive search engine. There's some indicator at play here that says, hey, people are interested or not, because I think it's still certainly like an older generation is still going to Google to learn about something, you know, if they're not on Twitter and they're not sort of in the social media bubbles that many of us find ourselves in. But yeah, I think this is it'll be interesting to see. We're going to see a divergence at some point where crypto searches are down, Bitcoin searches are way up. And to me, that's going to be like your permeable case, Greer, I think just is set into motion at that point. Okay, so Tony, you were talking about the fear and greed index. If either of you have commentary on how this is measured, I know I've kind of heard, I think it's sort of a rough measure, but this was an interesting chart put together. It looks like Shaw, I don't know this account on X, but he said, your next move should be obvious if you want generational wealth. And what he does, if you're listening to this on audio, is he lays out the 2012 crash, Mt. Gox, 2017-18 crash, COVID crash, FTX crash, and now the 2026 crash, and shows that all of them were this point of extreme fear. We're down to five, which is the lowest here in 2026. And he also lists the Bitcoin price at the time in dollar terms, and it's far higher today than it was in any of those other situations. So if you think that we're just not going to see an increase in the dollar denominated value of Bitcoin, your future purchasing power, I think you are not a good student of the history of Bitcoin. Tony, what would you add to this?
This chart correlates perfectly with the level of ignorance. The higher the fear, the higher the ignorance. In my head, it's 100% spot on. Because if you understood what was going on in the world, you should be more than happy that there is a solution available to you, right? And the numbers here, I mean, if you want to look at it superficially, the fact that every time we had a crash, Bitcoin's, you know, fiat denomination was higher is an indication of it. You know, like you get the higher lows each and every time. But again, you know, extreme fear. Fear of what exactly, right? Is there's the fear of losing everything and your purchasing power, or the excitement of preventing it completely? Choose your camp. But again, to understand this, you need to be focused on the right messaging and the right education and not distracting yourself with whatever nonsense that's out there. So for me, this is like, you know, what do you want me to tell you? History repeating itself. Those who do not want to help themselves, you know, will always suffer, unfortunately. And the sad thing is, no one will care, right? I mean, people think there's someone's always going to come in and save them. No one's coming to save anybody. Believe me, nobody cares about anybody else's demise more than you should. If you don't protect yourself, you're on your own. It's as simple as that. I learned that like the most horrific way possible.
So I think this is maybe a story. I can't remember if I've told this story yet, but everyone knows probably if you've been listening for a while, I've been trying to orange pill my church, get them to adopt a Bitcoin treasury. And I've offered to them that I would, you know, give them a gift in Bitcoin. My stipulation is I would prefer that they would hold it for a minimum of 5 years. That's going to be up to them ultimately. So I reached out to them the other day, I think when Bitcoin hit what, like 60,000. And I was like, I've been sitting on this cash, which I hate doing. And I was like, listen, if you guys are thinking you're going to accept this Bitcoin from me, like in Bitcoin, I would love to purchase this Bitcoin now because I'm going to get a lot more of it. And they said, yeah, I think that's the direction we're headed. We need to grow our conviction to decide if we're going to hold it for the long term. But yeah, we're comfortable with you purchasing the Bitcoin. I got so much more Bitcoin for them. And I have a feeling by the time I send this gift to them, it's going to be worth twice as much as what I purchased it for. So like, these are the opportunities where you can change the life of an institution that you care about, a local farmer that you care about, or your own life personally. If you've built the conviction, you've done the work, you've studied Bitcoin long enough to understand the trajectory that we're on. Greer, any other comments you would have on the fear and greed index?
I mean, history is saying that this is the time to buy. You know, look at the road signs. If you were looking for a sign, this where we are right now, you know, Bitcoin couldn't get down to 58K, the legendary number that we all kind of have memed into existence. And so if it's not going to 58, then it's not going to zero. And in fact, it's going in the opposite direction. So I would say take advantage of this. You know, we're still well below all-time highs. And over the long term, it doesn't matter if you buy at 63 or 73 or 84. When Bitcoin goes to a million and beyond, what you purchased it for really becomes irrelevant. So this is it. This is your chance. Do it now.
Well said. All righty. We've alluded to this as well, but Bark Meta on X said they're taxing half your income while printing unlimited money, surveilling everything you do, manipulating every market. I think there's a lot of evidence of all of that. He says, and instead of revolting, hundreds of millions of people are watching the Super Bowl. Bread and circuses never fail. Tony, I think you took this one, or you mentioned the Super Bowl, perhaps. And you've talked a lot about this. What's your thought?
Yeah, man, this is unbelievable to me. But again, you know, like, people love distractions more than, you know, assuming responsibility, because they think the problem is going to go away if they bury their head in the sand. The reality of the fiat money, like in the US dollar in this case, is that they are taxing half your money. They are debasing, you know, the other parts of it. And they are threatening you if you don't pay your taxes. And they are coercing you with tyrannical tools of control and surveillance. If this dollar was such an amazing product, why would you have to go to such extremes to convince people to use it? Wouldn't they willingly want to use it?
Yeah, right? That's a great way to say it. It's not like an option.
Just ask, if everybody would ask themselves that simple question, if it was such a good product, why do you need to be threatened to use it? Right?
It's the question. Yeah.
And so, based on this tweet, man, if everybody just did simple math, you are literally working for at least 6 months of your year for free to enrich a parasite that doesn't give a damn about you and that is using this money to fund all sorts of evil that you didn't ask for or vote for. The Epstein files are a clear indication of who that club that you don't belong to is and what these people are and what they are doing. By remaining in the fiat system, you are indirectly funding and supporting that world.
Yes.
To put an end to it, you need to leave it behind and never look back. If you don't support it. If you support it, do nothing. Be my guest. But for those that support freedom, peace, love, and a flourishing economy, there is a new currency that no one can wreck and destroy. And that is Bitcoin in full self-custody. It's not a speculation. Again, it is the money itself. You save in it. You forget about it. You use it as money when you need it. Sure, some days you spend more, some days you spend less. It doesn't matter. It's the money itself.
Well said. And by the way, I'm going to add a little bit of nuance to this because I think it's very easy for us as Bitcoiners. This is my personal opinion. Greer, I want to know if you disagree with me and if you watch the Super Bowl. I think you can opt out. I think you can use Bitcoin as money. Like, I've opted out of a million things in the last 4 years that I've just deemed strict fiat. I watch the Super Bowl with my family. My son loves football. I don't care that much, but it's just like it's a tradition. It's like a fun thing to do, you know, once a year. And I don't feel any regret. I don't feel like I'm feeding the beast because I happen to watch the Super Bowl. We did not watch the Bad Bunny halftime show, for what it's worth. I have young children, and also I wouldn't watch that garbage myself. But Greer, what's your take on both the Super Bowl and all the comments that Tony made?
Yeah, I share your view on the Super Bowl, Michael. Same for us. And I think what we're looking at here is like the raw truth. And if you look back to America's founding, we were frontiersmen. We were able to get our own water, our own food, our own land, build our own houses. And those, unfortunately, are skills that we've lost over the generations. Everything we have, we are dependent on someone else. And in most cases, we're dependent on the government. And so while many Americans have self-defense, Second Amendment rights that they're taking advantage of, we don't know how to use the skills. We don't know how to get the politicians to listen to us other than voting. And we're completely at the you know, at the request and at the mercy of our masters. And I think this is the wake up call. This is the wake up call. It's absolutely correct. We're spending way too much money as a government, and the people are not being listened to. And the problem is we don't know how to fight. The good news is that Bitcoin does give you a peaceful way to exit the system. If you stop funding the system with your time and your energy and your money, and you put it into Bitcoin, that is one way that you can peacefully protest. You can peacefully opt out. And if enough of us do it, it removes the power from our masters over us. So I would say, if you're not ready to storm the Capitol, and of course, I wouldn't recommend that, I think your next best option is to buy Bitcoin and exit the system.
Yeah, I think it is fitting that in the Super Bowl, the Patriots lost. So hopefully that's not an indication of what we're going to be moving forward. Yeah.
I think it is. That's the signal right there.
All righty. So last up, guys, Bitcoin experienced, this is Mononaut, Bitcoin experienced an 11.16% drop in difficulty. Largest negative adjustment since July 2021, the China mining ban crash, and the 10th largest negative percentage adjustment of all time. Tony, you had a great point. You think that this is bullish for people who take action and do what?
Absolutely, man. If you've been on the fence about, you know, considering solo mining, this is pure signal. Now the chances of you hitting that block have gone up. You know, like, it's not as rare as many folks would like to believe. Sure, I mean, it's not a very high probability, but it's not zero. And it's much better than, you know, your traditional lottery ticket. And if you wake up one day with, you know, 3.125, you know, virgin, no KYC Bitcoin, this is a very happy day, man. And solo mining is not hard. In fact, I think, you know, every Bitcoiner should consider it. A lot of our clients are doing it now very happily. I have to warn you, though, it's extremely addictive. You start off with one miner, and before you know it, you have a collection of them, you know, and you're just watching screens all day, hoping one of them starts blinging, you know, in your face. Bullish news. You know, the future is headed to sound money. Decentralization is a thing. It'll become an even bigger thing once more people understand it. And I'm very optimistic on that bright orange future. I just hope more people will understand this, you know, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, take self-custody, run a node, and start solo mining. Greer, I've got a working thesis that you've mined at least one solo block, and you're just not telling anyone about it. But you've got a handful running at the moment, right?
Thanks for putting the target on me. I haven't won a block yet, but I am an eternal optimist. And I think, you know, it's a few hundred bucks to buy a miner, plug it in, you know, connect your address. And I think waking up to mining a block, that is a dream scenario. And you have way better odds than playing the lottery. You know, that's the poor man's tax. Don't do that. And we saw from the Epstein files, they were able to rig the lottery anyway. So instead of going and doing that, playing the Powerball or doing Kalshi or Polymarket or any of those other betting apps, just bet on yourself. Bet on the fact that you can purchase a solo miner, plug it in at home, and you can mine a block. 3.125 Bitcoin is monstrous. That's a huge number of Bitcoin. And, you know, look to 2028, that mining reward gets cut in half. So you've got 2 years, do everything you can to mine a block, buy as many miners as you can afford to pay the electric bill. I think mine's like $20 a month for the two that I have. Yeah, and start mining. And, you know, who knows, maybe you'll be able to manifest it.
Yeah, solo mining is the only form of speculation you will ever hear the Bitcoin way promote, I think. So, and it is fun, it is addictive, and it's a great way to learn. Like, if you want to increase your knowledge of Bitcoin, how it works, solo mining's the way to go. Alrighty, guys, I think that's a good place to wrap up. Thank you both for being here. For everyone who tuned in, we appreciate it. Stick around for another minute. You can learn a bit about the Bitcoin way, how we can help you. And by the way, we can walk you through setting up a solo miner as well, something we would love to do. We need a solo miner and a node in every home. Greer, Tony, thanks for the time. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.